summer, the days are longer, so that means bright, sunshiny, happy hour get-togethers after work. Or at least I like to think it does. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today on Central Standard, the food critics join us for our annual compilation of best happy hours in town. Two-for-one drinks, half-price bottles and pitchers, appetizer specials, don't mind if we do. Plus, the economics of happy hour. For example, how long before it ends do you place that last order? And for our non-drinkers, we've got mocktails. Coming right up after this news. If that sound is music to your ears, you're probably ready for happy hour, even though it's only 10 a.m. I'm Gina Kaufman, and it's time for our annual happy hour show. Our food critics are here to share the best in appetizer and drink specials around town, even if you aren't into booze. Mocktails are becoming more trendy. Some places even put them on the menu. Our producer, Sylvia Maria Gross, recently visited The Brick to find out how they develop non-alcoholic drink specials with a twist.
The Brick is known around town as a music venue, lined with booths, brick walls, of course, and serving a large selection of burgers, and an old-school bar. Owner Sherry Parr says she's not really a drinker herself, and getting a nice non-alcoholic drink at a bar shouldn't be a big deal.
I've been places where I've asked a bartender to make me like a virgin margarita, and they've said, I can't make that. And I think that's unacceptable, because you can make it.
So right there on the Brick's menu, under a list of classic cocktails, are a half dozen mocktails made with fresh fruits, herbs, coconut water, and flavored syrups like violet and elderberry. There's something called a bloody shame.
My grandmother would never say a Virgin Mary. That was disrespectful.
Sherry says drinking is not the only reason people go to a bar. And if you don't want to drink, it's nice to have options besides soda water or iced tea. Bartender Christy Bruner says people don't always want to make a big deal out of not drinking.
It's easier just to like put a drink in your hand than go through that like, well, I'm not drinking because I'm driving or because I'm pregnant or, you know.
But since you're out at a bar, why not have something muddled with mint or with salt around the rim? Sherry says she's been offering mocktails on the menu for about 5 years now. The trend is probably an offshoot of the whole mixology movement towards handcrafted cocktails.
It's not just bartenders throwing a rum and coke over a bar, and there's pride in the beverage that's being made. I think there's definitely more options for mocktails, just because the fresh ingredients that are behind the bar now.
Why don't you make them like with that watermelon or something?
Christy mixes some fresh watermelon puree with mint and cucumber and begins to muddle.
You're smelling it. Is that how you know that it's sort of muddled enough?
Or? Yeah, I learned that from Sherry.
There's a lot you can tell if you're not, like, if it's not your drink, you don't want to be, like, sampling it, you know? So if you just smell it, you can kind of sense where it's at.
The modern mocktail, even if it's fruit-based, needs to be different from a juice.
I think cucumber and mint and thing, you know, things like that, you know, elderberry, violet, lavender, you know, all of those things are adult flavors. I think there's a layer of notes, like when you build a cocktail.
Sherry and Christy have developed these mocktails kind of on the fly at the end of long nights at the bar.
Usually after you just get slammed, and then it's nice to just surprise each other with like a refreshment, like, ah, we just got our butts kicked. Let's enjoy a mocktail.
And they are refreshing and pretty much guilt-free, so you don't have to feel awkward about, say, drinking on the radio at 10 in the morning.
That's Sylvia Maria Gross enjoying a refreshing summer beverage at the Brick downtown at 18th and McGee. Our conversation today is about happy hour specials, so Sylvia wanted us to note that these mocktails are always cheaper than cocktails, so they aren't discounted on the Brick's happy hour menu. I repeat, no specials on happy hour mocktails. I'm Gina Kaufman, back in the studio with a happy hour expert. Let's get to know our resident bar hopper for the morning, Natalie Gallagher. She writes a column for The Pitch called Bartender's Notebook, as well as Drink This Now. It's exactly what it sounds like. Natalie, care to explain your mission?
Drinking delicious adult beverages would probably be my mission with those two. The Bartender's Notebook sort of grew out of, finding that Kansas City had a lot of really great talent behind the bar, you know, people who want to experiment and are willing to get really creative with off-the-menu items. So whenever we go into a bar with a notebook in mind, we challenge the bartender to do something off-the-menu, totally creative.
A lot of people would love to get paid to go hang out in bars and sample drinks, but I have a question about that. How do you make sure you stay sober enough to avoid becoming what's sometimes called an unreliable narrator?
Well, there are two things with that. First, I usually cap it at about 2 to 3 drinks, no more than 3 drinks per notebook, just because I run out of space, and that's a lot of information. That's a lot of recipes to try to cram into one piece. But the second is that I have a pretty high tolerance. Drinking with a little buzz on, you know, or writing with a little buzz on, that's, you know.
There's a long tradition of that, actually, I guess. Are there other challenges involved in this profession that the uninitiated might not appreciate?
As far as drink writing, yeah, I mean, I think it really helps. I mean, before I, you know, started writing at The Pitch, I was working, you know, full time in the industry. So, I mean, that's given me a background. It's offered me, you know, the opportunity to ask the right questions to bartenders. I'm not coming in there, you know, knowing only that I drink gin and tonics or rum and cokes. Like, I've got a pretty sophisticated palate, and I know what I like, and I know what a good drink tastes like.
How long have you been doing the columns?
Well, Drink This Now is a new blog-only thing that I do. I try to do once a week. So that's been going on for maybe about a month or so, a month and a half maybe. And then the Bartender's Notebook, I think, started over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
What's your favorite thing you've learned about the art of bartending or the significance of bars in the time you've been doing this? Any epiphanies?
Kansas City knows what's up. I don't think I was, because I'm not from here. I moved here from Minneapolis nearly 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years in September. And I don't think I was ready for the sort of voracious, very industry-minded, very, like, cocktail-focused town that this is. And it was a pleasant surprise. And I have... I'm just so looking forward to, you know, continuing to discover such great people with great drinks in mind.
One of your recent columns featured bartender Katie Wade at Julep, and it began this way. It takes very little to convince Katie Wade that we should sample some Fernet. Just 4 words, in fact. And those 4 words turned out to be, I'm thinking about Fernet. That's a great opening and a great setup. Tell us the rest of that story.
Well, Fernet, it's actually pronounced Fernet, despite that it's a French word. It's actually Italian in tradition. It's a whole thing, but anyway. Fernet is the pronunciation on that. And
I may never get used to that. I'm going to warn you.
Yeah, it's. I think people know what you're talking about either way. But so it is a, it's kind of a bartender's handshake. Fernet is an Italian Amaro, you know, with some French history. And it is basically a licorice liqueur. Slightly bitter, slightly sweet, with kind of a high alcohol proof, so that if you're a bartender and you're behind the bar, it's easy just to sip on it because it coats your breath. If you just had a cigarette break or something like that, you know, it's what bartenders do. So it gained popularity on the coasts several years ago, and now it's found its way to the middle of the country, and there are a lot of really great things you can do with that. It's instead of just drinking it straight or on the rocks, I'm really starting to see a lot more people incorporate it into cocktails. And Katie had some really awesome things. She made a Fernet mint julep, and that was, it disappeared very quickly in my hands.
You tend to follow people rather than places. Why is that?
Despite the fact that, you know, places, you know, have their own personality and character, I think it's really, bartending is a very personable thing. Like, when I'm ordering a drink at a bar, I want to know that the person making this for me, you know, it's their recipe, it's their creation, it's their product. It represents them more than it represents the bar I'm at. And it's a chance to connect with another human being, and hopefully that person is someone who has, like, a lot of heart and soul and takes care into what they do. It's, you know, it's a really beautiful moment, or it can be, you know, hopefully most of the time, especially in the craft cocktail world, as you're spending, you know, a minimum $10 on a drink. You really want to know that that person is putting some time and energy into what they're doing.
Who are some of the bartenders in town who have really made an impression on you?
Caitlin Corcoran over at Sava. She's got a long history. She used to be at Fonda. Before that, she was in the coffee world for a while. I have never had a bad drink from her. And despite her being at a champagne bar now, I know that I can walk in there and go, "Hey, Caitlin, I just want to drink mezcal right now." And before my eyes, a mezcal gimlet or something totally on point, you know, with no champagne in it, if that's not what I'm feeling that night. Eric Mariscal over at Local Pig, he does these beautiful, really refreshing cocktails. And I know Charles is going to talk about this, but he does some fresh squeezed drinks that are totally unique to the city right now.
And we'll get to that in our happy hour segment.
Yeah.
Anyone else you want to mention?
I think Derek over at The Rieger, he is such a great personality. His drinks are great. He doesn't actually have any drinks on the menu right now, but I have never been more comfortable at any bar than at that one. Just pulling up there and letting him, you know, it's a classic, like letting him assuage my love life woes with a glass of whatever he feels like pouring at that moment.
So you can have a real trust relationship in that particular bar.
Yeah.
In Sylvia's mocktail story, she hinted at a sort of purist streak among bartenders that can be almost kind of macho, just the idea that there's pride at stake when it comes to adding foo-foo ingredients and especially foregoing booze altogether.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that's about?
Well, I think with anything, you know, with anyone who is really dedicated to their career or their craft, you have a lot of very specific opinions, you know, and I think it goes back to, you know, even like James Bond ordering a martini a specific way. You know, drinking is an ageless tradition and everyone has their drink and every bartender has a certain way of preparing that drink. So it's no longer going up to a bar and saying, "Oh, I'd like a rye Manhattan." It's five other questions after that. How would you like the, what rye? Up or on the, you know, like all of these sorts of things.
Yeah, and I hate that because I'm always like the cheap one.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, I mean, I think as far as the sort of foo-foo opinions, I think that I'm not bothered by that as much as some other people because I just think that that person, you know, knows what they're doing. They have some pride in what they're doing. They've taken the time to develop these opinions, and I trust that.
This is a question I try not to ask when it's not relevant, but right now I think it is. How old are you?
I am 29.
See, I ask that because soon we are going to bring in our food critics to talk about happy hours, and I've been thinking lately about that my greatest happy hour expertise, which was vast for a while, was when I was in my 20s. I knew exactly when and where there was a deal every single mm-hmm. day of the week. It was, I would say, a lifestyle strategy. Do you mm-hmm. think that's common among the younger set?
I do. I do think that is common right now. There's definitely a huge opportunity for happy hours in Kansas City, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, but it's, I mean, this is a great town if you want to go out and drink between the hours of 3 and 6. Personally, I am never the well drink with mixer type. So most happy hours, you know, as far as drink menus go, they just don't apply to my personal tastes. So it's not something that, you know, I personally am affected by, because I order what I want. But I do know where to go when it's that time, because not everyone operates. Not all of my friends operate like that.
Any sense of how it works out for bars? I mean, I guess you get lots of people in the door for deals and people lose track of time and end up ordering off the regular menu. But we talked to two bar owners who said that happy hours are actually loss leaders. They lose money.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many places in town. Like, I can think of several places in Crossroads, you know, that offer large portions of their food menu at half off during happy hour. You know, La Bodega has an insane, it's like 2 to 6 and half of their menu is half off. Like, it's, Nara does the same thing. They've got like $4 sushi rolls. Like, that kind of thing is meant to get people in for happy hour and say, oh, I love this place. The food is so great. Well, I could come for dinner sometime. I spent $30 on happy hour. I'll come back. I'll spend $60 for dinner. I had a great experience. That's what happy hour does for bar owners and restaurant owners in that case.
Do you have a personal strategy for playing the happy hour game wisely as a customer, or do you think any of your friends do? I know that you aren't taking too much advantage of the drinks, but the food, happy hours.
Yeah, and yeah. Especially, you know, if it's a place I've never been, I look first for their happy hour, because that's just an easy entry into the place. That's an easy way to not spend a ton of money and determine, you know, if maybe it's worth my time later on.
Do you think it's poor bar etiquette to order someone who has not yet arrived a drink if they are arriving after the happy hour?
I think it depends on the bar. I think that's just sort of a, you know, a service thing. Some bars won't let you do it. But yeah.
Natalie Gallagher, stay with me through the break.
Sure.
When Central Standard returns, our food critics will join us, and you can too. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about your favorite happy hour spots in town. We're talking food and drink, and the list you help us compile will live on our website as an authoritative guide. So be sure and get your favorite place on the list. 816-235-2888. More in a minute. The food critics are here. I'm Gina Kaufman, and I'm sitting here with my friends Charles Ferruza and Mary Block. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
Charles is the food writer for The Pitch, and Mary writes a food blog around the block. She also does some freelancing. Natalie Gallagher is still with us as well. She writes The Bartender's Notebook and Drink This Now features for The Pitch, where she works as music editor. Welcome back, Natalie.
Hi, thank you.
Call 816-235-2888 and tell us your happy hour secrets. We want to know where you go, not just for deals, but also for a great scene and quality food and drink. 816-235-2888 is the number to call. So you guys, I did some research on the history of happy hours and found some interesting tidbits and theories. According to an article in Mental Floss, the term itself is Navy slang from World War I. It referred to an allotted time when sailors would enjoy entertainment to break up the monotony of seafaring life. The author of that article also says that Prohibition had a lot to do with the happy hour tradition on land, because a lot of speakeasies, I guess, operated at specific times, often early, to avert suspicion. Does that sound credible?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the food component of happy hours predates all of that, because saloons, and I'm talking about, you know, the old turn of the century saloons, turn of the last century, would frequently, to lure the workers coming home from the factories, would offer a buffet of, interestingly enough, very salty foods, pickles, pretzels, ham, salted potatoes.
Why so salty?
You drink more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they would, you know, they would come in and get a little snack and realize, I'm really a lot more thirsty than I thought.
Thirsty specifically for whatever you are serving.
Absolutely, beer mostly.
Any other fun history fun facts about happy hours?
Well, I had forgotten until Mary and I were talking before the show. We, like you, in our 20s, were in college, and happy hour was a very big deal, especially if you were a poor college student, because you could sort of map out where you could go and what you could get at each specific bar. So you could have a pretty good meal. And in those days, I think it's illegal now. In those days, happy hour food was almost always free.
Whoa, totally free?
Totally free.
We're aging ourselves, yeah, but it was.
Yeah, and it, a total loss leader. I mean, a complete loss leader. And the food wasn't usually very good, and it was salty. But, you know, if you were...
mixed nuts.
fried mushrooms.
Pizza rolls. Lots of fried stuff. And but if you could work it out, as you said, and had a map... You know, you didn't have to drive very far, and you got a meal for the cost of maybe a couple beers.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, just before break, I was asking Natalie about her happy hour strategies. And I wonder if there were any specific techniques that you employed to make sure that you were getting your orders in within that right amount of time, that everyone who was arriving whenever that you were getting the most out of your happy hour, even though I'm starting to feel a little sad for the restaurants on this.
You know, this is my favorite show of the year because my husband and I are big happy hour goers. He's notoriously cheap, so this is his time to, you know.
To shine.
Exactly. And the great thing about happy hour now is the food specials are as great as the drink specials, and sometimes even better. You can get really good food for 40-50% off.
Is it a chance to try something that you might not quite be adventurous enough to order in the full entree?
Absolutely. You look at it and say, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but you know what? It's half price, so let's give it a try. And my husband, I am embarrassed to say, always tells the waiter to give him one more beer or drink or whatever before the happy hour ends.
He pre-orders.
Exactly.
Which I think that's very commonly done, and I think it's really smart.
So there's another strategic tip. Let's get some recommendations. Critics, your favorite happy hours. I'll start with you, Mary, since you were just giving us your expertise. Tell me about a favorite happy hour hangout of yours.
It's hard because I have several, but I think I would have to give the nod to Extra Virgin. They have shortened the hours, but from 4 to 6, they have a ton of dishes that are half price, and it's their regular menu, and then those are starred. But you can get really wonderful food. They're tuna tacos, bone marrow, hanger steak, poblano mac and cheese. These are regular entrees that are half price. And I especially like going on Monday nights because they also have half price bottles of wine. And Extra Virgin has a fabulous wine list. So that's kind of fun.
And that bone marrow you mentioned might be exactly the kind of thing that someone might want to, because
experience,
of what it sounds like, try first on happy hour.
Exactly.
So that's Extra Virgin in the Crossroads.
At 1900 Main.
And Charles, what's a place you recommend?
Well, I just had an epiphany myself right here. I just realized that happy hours are the early bird specials of the 21st century. You know, if you eat early enough, you get, you know, an inexpensive meal.
I wish I had just written that down.
And this made a couple of lists here. I like Nara because I think... which is at 1617 Main Street. From 3 to 6 p.m., they have menu items at a reduced price, and it's a great way to try things you've never had before or things that are new to that menu.
Tell us more about Nara in case some of our listeners haven't been there.
It's an Asian restaurant. They have very good sushi. They have grilled meats, skewers, and they usually have a wide variety of very interesting things. So... You know, I go in there and you could be there and have the happy hour food, I believe, in the dining room, which is not always the case. And they've been good to me. I mean, I don't have to order a cocktail to get the happy hour food specials.
Natalie, Nara's a place that you wanted to recommend as well. What can you add to Charles's comments about the Nara happy hour?
I go to Nara mostly for their food. They have a really specific happy hour menu. Some, you know, rolls are $4. A lot of appetizers are $3. I don't think anything on their happy hour menu for food is over $6. And it's a lot of items. And it's also right by the pitch office, so...
That may contribute.
So it's very convenient whenever I need to take a meeting or something. But yeah, they have a... I mean, they're just really convenient, like great sushi, so...
Well, we heard from a caller in Ottawa who I think was responding to our earlier conversation about drinks, but that caller chimed in at 816-235-2888, as we hope you will do with your favorite happy hours in and around town. But Michael says that you can tell a lot about a person by what they drink, that people wear their drinks. What do you think about that, guests?
As a former bartender, I've been more surprised than, you know, I was often surprised by, you know, someone who looked very conventional and square ordering something weird, a lot more than, you know, second guessing what their personality was like by what they drank.
Natalie, what do you think?
I think there are, you know, a couple ways to take that. Like Charles said, it's, you know, it, if you come in and you order, you know, your martini a certain way, or if you say, oh, I'll have the Chardonnay, whatever house Chardonnay you have, you know, there's something to be inferred by that, I suppose. But for me, I think maybe what this caller is referring to is a guest who comes in and might order whatever drink is in vogue at the moment, or whatever fashion is in, you know, if Fernet is... You know, if we have like 15 people walking into a bar after this segment is over and ordering a Fernet Mint Julep, you know, I think that's, there's something to be said for that as well.
And it was maybe a pomegranate flavored drink a few years back. Well, so let's get some more of your recommendations, and then we'll get some callers at 816-235-2888 giving theirs. Natalie, what's another one of your favorite happy hour spots?
I've already talked about Savoy a little bit, but I think it's worth noting because there are so few places in Westport that do a great happy hour. Everyone offers one, but not a lot of places will offer sort of an extended menu. For me personally, it's been a little hard to find a creative happy hour in Westport. So Savoy will do every happy hour they'll have. They'll have specific off-the-menu happy hour items. They'll do popcorn or whatever, and they're all cheap little bites. And then they'll offer a really beautiful high-end bottle of champagne for half off. The last time I was in there, I can't remember what they were doing, but it was like a $90 bottle of champagne. They were offering it for $45. To me, I mean, that's worth going in alone. Like, forget the food, I'll take that.
Wow, that is impressive. And do they have food specials during happy hour as well?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do. They offer some of their regular food items at a discounted price. They have French fries that they do. It's a small menu. It's a small place, but it's really fun. They have a croque madame, I think, and creme brulee. They offer like appetizers to meal to like dessert on happy hour.
Mary, what's another one of your recommendations? We just heard about Sava in Westport.
Well, and she mentioned Westport doesn't have a lot of great happy hours, but I love the one at Bluestem, which has a totally separate menu in their lounge. You can get their burgers, shrimp and grits, all sorts of things that are not, excuse me, on their regular menu. And then the Westport Cafe also has wonderful specials. But I would also recommend, not in Westport, the Rieger Hotel Grill and Exchange. And that's great because they used to have lunch, and they closed that. So now at happy hour, they have lobster rolls and pork tenderloin sandwiches and things they don't have on the dinner menu.
Okay, so Mary, you just gave three recommendations. I want to tease each one out just a little bit more. You talked about Bluestem, which is sort of on the periphery of Westport, but it is in Westport.
Yep.
And you were talking about their sort of early evening, Tuesday through Friday, burgers, shrimp and grits, that kind of stuff. How does that differ from their regular menu for people who don't frequent that?
Well, for one thing, it's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a whole different style. This would be more like the food they serve at Rye, whereas Bluestem is...
For people who haven't been there.
Okay. casual. Like, so the lounge might be hamburgers, and the Blue Stem restaurant is prefix with elegant presentation and fish and
formal,
very formal.
So this is the informal version of Blue Stem in addition to the sort of deal.
I think they're completely different.
It feels like a totally different restaurant.
Wow.
You can get that menu all evening, but it's only discounted from 5 to 6:30.
Which and is a very short time.
Yeah.
Are there drinks that are sort of featured on that menu as well?
They do have, you know, well drinks for a discounted price and certain beer and wines as well.
And then you mentioned Webster House. Tell us about their happy hour and some of the menu items that you especially like to get on that happy hour menu.
Webster House is in the Crossroads. It's 1644 Wyandotte. And they have shrimp and grits also, hamburgers, fried green tomatoes. They do that in their bar only, which I think is just a gorgeous bar. And then they also have a patio where they serve it in the summer. And that's a much more casual menu than their regular dinner menu as well.
Webster House, Charles, is that one that you're familiar
with? Yeah, it's on my list as well. It is, I love it. It's an old, it feels like an old club room. Mm-hmm. You know, it's dark and kind of clubby. And I notice a lot of lawyers seem to hang out there. And but it's quiet. If you want a happy hour where you can actually talk to people and there's no loud music and not a lot of chatter, that's the place to go. And I think it's one of the best cheeseburgers I've had in the city.
It sounds like sort of like inviting someone into the parlor if you lived in an old mansion in olden times.
Or the den or the library.
Yeah, an English, really upscale English bar.
Yeah.
So that's the Webster House in the Crossroads. Let's talk to Victoria in Waldo. Hi, Victoria.
Hi.
What can you share?
Sorry.
No, go on ahead.
Oh, okay. I know that a lot of times I absolutely love a great happy hour. And unfortunately, one of my friends, she has celiac. And so a lot of times happy hour food is like fried or sandwiches or sliders. So it is not really an option for her. So when we go out after after work, one of our favorite places is actually Zocalo or Zocalo on the plaza. They have really great sangria. They both have a red and a white. They've got a great patio area. They open up the windows. And most of their menu, at least their happy hour menu, is celiac friendly. So we ate there probably this past year, I don't know, twice a month, and she never once had an issue, as opposed to a lot of other places. They're celiac friendly and their happy hour menus have not ended well. So that's a really great place for people to go.
Thanks so much, Victoria. I wonder if there are other places that are not necessarily catering toward people with celiac or a gluten intolerance of some kind, but maybe just aren't emphasizing the fried foods quite so much. I mean, I think the sushi option would certainly qualify. Does anyone have any other suggestions?
Well, we had mentioned Nara, so if you're sticking with sushi, both Kona Grill and Boling's on the plaza do have a lot of great sushi specials. And then there are places like Tan and Wine Bar. That's at 15th and Walnut, and they have even Brussels sprouts and steak tartare and salmon and other things on their menu, as well as 25% off wines by the glass or the bottle, which is a great deal.
And Natalie, I think you were also wanting to talk about Tannin. Tell us about what you like at the Tannin happy hour.
So all day and all night on Sundays and Mondays, it is BOGO on bottles of wine at Tannin. Up to a certain price point, which I think is like $80. And if you've been into...
What is BOGO?
Buy one, get one. Bottles of wine. So, which is, I mean, you're getting a free bottle of wine. Like, you know, I can go in there and order a $60 bottle of, you know, Cote de Rhone or something, and then say, hey, I'm going to follow this up with a $50 bottle of Vino Verde or whatever.
Good for a large group, especially.
Or for two people. I mean, like you can also, you know, if I have no problem killing, I'm maybe saying a little too much about my drinking habits, but I have no problem killing a bottle of wine on my own. And then, you know, you can always have the bar open the second bottle and then they'll cork it for you. You can take it home. So, you know, it's really, I'm so surprised that not more people take advantage of that.
So, that's Tannen, downtown at about 15th Street or so.
1526 Walnut.
Anything else we need to say about the Tannen happy hour before we go to our next call? Okay, we had a caller who couldn't stay on the line, but works in the service industry and is looking for very late night specials. And I do think there are some reverse happy hours out there these days. Does anyone have a great reverse happy hour or late night special? Natalie, I'm kind of looking at you.
Yeah, we've already talked about these two quite a bit, but Nara does a reverse happy hour. Westport Cafe has a great late night happy hour. You can go in and get a pretty extensive, like, steamed mussels, their burger. They do just a lot of great options. If you're hungry and, I mean, I go there a lot of times after a show or something. Like, that's probably my go-to. And it's nice, too, because it's not usually packed at 1 in the morning. So.
All right. Thanks for that. We were just discussing your recommendations. And Charles, you have another one that we haven't gotten to yet. I'd love to hear about it.
The Majestic Restaurant. I like it a lot. And I should say that Sean Moriarty, who was the head bartender, I'm assuming he still is, at the Majestic, which is at 931 Broadway, is still there because he makes one mean mocktail. And that's not too sweet. So, but you can only have happy hour in the bar only. And it isn't little tastes of things. They're substantial. You can really easily make an inexpensive meal just sitting at the bar.
So that's at the Majestic?
Yes.
And anything else you want to say about the Majestic in general?
It has such an old saloon feel because it's a very, very old saloon with tile floors and a great old bar. It's very convivial in there, too. You know, it's a nice thing. Nice place.
Hold that thought. We've got to take another break. When we return, it's last call in a sense. There will be one final segment to get your vote in. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the happy hour gem that just has to make our list of best happy hours in town. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. I'm Gina Kaufman. You're listening to Central Standard, and this is a food show. Today's topic is happy hour hotspots in and around Kansas City. We've gotten some great recommendations already, and we're going to get as many more as we can. 816-235-2888. Our critics are Charles Ferruza, Mary Block, and Natalie Gallagher. So you guys, technically you can hit the happy hours any time of year, but the concept definitely excites me more in the summertime when it's light out after work, patios are open, the nights are longer. Maybe I feel like I have more time, even if I don't. Anyone else with me on that and have a great happy hour on the patio kind of scene to recommend?
I'm definitely with you on that. Some of my, like Extra Virgin, they have a patio. Tannen has a patio. I mentioned the Webster House has a patio.
Julian has a patio, but do they have a happy hour menu? I can't remember. It was just there, but
I don't know. No,
I'm sure they do.
Then that's another question. Do most restaurants do happy hours, or do you really need to do your research before you go out hoping for that?
I would do.
Yeah, you
research.
Definitely need to do your research. But I would say there's one place that doesn't have a happy hour, but I have to mention it because I went to the American a few weeks ago, and it was really a revelation because their lounge menu has. Now, the drinks aren't particularly cheap, but all of their food is under $15. And you can eat really, really well on some of these small plates. And
explain
they have
this lounge menu. What is it?
It's in their bar, and they're trying to make the American not a special occasion restaurant anymore. And you can get snacks to full entrees in the lounge starting at 5 o'clock.
But they don't have fried pickles.
They don't have fried pickles, but they do have, you know, beautiful snacks and Ferveri bread, They have oysters. You could get charred octopus, halibut.
I've had the charred octopus. It's really
good. It's wonderful. Spicy pork buns with homemade English muffins. So not, it's definitely upscale, but in a casual way.
What's your other recommendation, Mary? You've got one more that we haven't gotten to.
Genesee Royale Bistro. And that's interesting because they're in the West Bottoms and they only do happy hour from 4 to 7. I think
and
Todd.
And is it just one day a week?
You have Friday. Sorry, 4 to 7 on Friday. Yeah. They are only open for breakfast and lunch typically. And I think Todd wants to do some other things. And so
he's the chef and owner.
He's the chef and owner. And on Fridays from 4 to 7, he has three or four small plates. They're different every week. And that's a fun thing to do.
Any sort of culinary taste that should guide someone in that direction? I know the menu changes, but how would you describe the food?
Well, he often has sliders, tacos. He does a great shrimp and grits. So it's along those lines.
So that's Genesee Royale in the West Bottoms. Let's talk to Mike in Overland Park. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
What can you share?
I'm putting my recommendation for the Gaslight Grill over on 135th Street, and I forget the side road, but it's over by Church of the Resurrection. And
is it in Kansas?
Gets in Overland Park, Kansas.
Do they have music, live music, during their happy hour?
No, that's in the back part of the restaurant, and this is at the very front part as you come into the door to your right, and it runs from 4 to 7.
What do you order there?
They have sliders where you can get, I love the prime rib slider. They have chicken and roast beef also, and then they've got calamari that's wonderful, very light, very refreshing. They've got wonderful peel and eat shrimp that is cold and very good, and they have wonderful red wine.
Well, and what about the atmosphere? Because I think that's kind of important on the happy hours, because it's like a thing that groups of people like to do together and be kind of festive. So tell us about this scene.
And I think that's what is the nicest. It's kind of a warm, cozy place in the wintertime. They have a fireplace over on the wall that's going. In the summertime, they have quite a large patio you can go out and sit on. And the staff there is wonderful and very friendly. Service is fast, and you've got to get there early because it fills up pretty quickly. It's a great place.
Well, thanks so much, Mike.
You bet.
We have some other listener recommendations. We have an email from Brad who wants to recommend the Hereford House. He says they have good drinks and steak Oscar for good prices. He says everything is good. I like the one on Midland Drive in Shawnee. They have the happy hour going most of the time, which sounds like not a happy hour to me.
I thought it had to be set times, but who knows.
Which brings up an interesting point, actually, that in Kansas, happy hours were illegal until about 3 years ago, that you couldn't have drink specials that did not last all day or that were like oriented toward just a specific group of people.
Like a ladies' night.
They would have like a day that was a happy hour or something. But it's been 3 years since Kansas has had legal happy hours. And last time we did this happy hour show, we only had two recommendations in Kansas. So that Gaslight Grill is a great one to add. Any other Kansas happy hours that have popped up that you know about?
Pig and Finch has one. They're in Park Place. On Ash. And they do a happy hour with some of their appetizers and flatbreads, their blue cheese chips, things like that with drink specials. You know, Gina, the other thing we should point out is that typically happy hours are Monday through Friday, but there are a few that do Saturday and Sundays, but that's pretty rare.
Anything coming to mind as far as specific places that do that?
Voltaire in the West Bottoms does Wednesday through Saturday, and they have a totally separate menu for their happy hour. They do a different list of specials on a weekly basis. So that would be one.
What kind of food do people get at Voltaire? And tell us about the scene.
Well, it's the old
R-Bar,
and before that, the original Suteros, and they kept the bar. It's a beautiful bar. And they have very eclectic, a global menu. Typically, this week's specials for happy hour include oysters, a shrimp cocktail, tempura green beans, chicken gizzards, a sandwich special, that kind of thing.
Natalie, we have a few more things on your list that we haven't gotten to. Why don't you start telling us about some of those?
Man, there are so, I mean, Jax is one of my favorites. If I end up on the Plaza, I am probably going to be heading to Jax. They have a daily happy hour from 4 to 6, and then it's all, they open at 4 on Monday, and it's all night on Monday. And it's a lot of food. It's some regular happy hour stuff. You know, they have a really awesome peel and eat shrimp that I have every time I'm there. Fish griddle cakes, and their cocktails are awesome. One of my favorite bartenders, Kenny Kors, is, I believe, the bar manager over there. And
we should say though, Natalie, and you always do say this, you have to get there early because that bar fills
that
up
bar
so
fills
fast.
Up so quickly. Yeah.
What counts as early for happy hour?
I mean, like at 4. They open, well, Jack's at 4. Jack's opens at 4, so I would get there at 4.
Wow.
For their happy hour.
Good to
yeah,
know.
It's, I mean, that place, it's right next to a hotel, so.
What about, like, oysters? Is that something that you would get at Jack's?
Yeah, they do a really great oyster selection, and it's
right at the bar.
It's right at the bar, which is part of the beauty, which is also part of why that fills up, because you've got the oyster bar where there, you can watch them shucking oysters. You can also order baked oysters, fried oysters. There's some buffalo fried oysters that are so delicious. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that place. I also feel so fancy every time I'm there. It's beautiful.
So that's Jack's on the Plaza, and then the Bristol you're also recommending. So you're mm-hmm. kind of a fish person.
I love seafood, yeah. Bristol is great. We actually have on 6/18, our June 18th issue. We're going
of the
to be,
pitch.
Of the pitch, yes. Sorry. We're going to be featuring Bristol's new porthole cocktails, which are not on happy hour. They're actually very expensive, but they're really fun. But maybe you can try one while you're getting a lot of
discounted food.
Discounted food. They've got a great tuna tartare on happy hour that I love.
What is a porthole cocktail? I can't help but ask.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
Porthole cocktails. A porthole is a contraption invented by a designer in Chicago for the Aviary, which is a renowned Chicago cocktail lounge. But it's basically a fast infusion process for cocktails. So you sort of assemble this pinwheel of fresh things and add alcohol, and it infuses at the table. It's very elaborate, very beautiful, and $23 for a drink.
Yeah. So happy hour, although it's not on the happy hour menu, would be a good time to enjoy it so that you're also getting mm-hmm. deals.
Yeah, treat yourself.
Bridget from Olathe has called in, couldn't stay on the line, but wanted to recommend in Kansas the Carlos Copa Room on 87th Street. Anyone familiar with that one?
Well, I've eaten there several times. And it's a great Italian restaurant. They usually have some kind of live performance. I don't know if they have it during happy hour, but it's a charming family-run place with good pasta dishes, and I'm sure their happy hour is good.
She also says that St. Barley's on Midland Drive in Shawnee is also good, and she says that both are good food and drink specials. Barley has half-price appetizers, cheap wine, and beer. And that Carlos Copa Room has meatballs.
Well, there's something to say. Does she mean Barley's Brew House?
Yes, you I'm know? Sorry. I was reading a note that said...
You know, as a Catholic, I can tell you with some authority there's no Saint Barley.
Yeah, ST means street and saint, in case you're wondering. So, Mary, we cut off a little bit your recommendation on the Rieger earlier. Tell us about their happy hour.
Well, as I said, because they aren't open for lunch anymore, some of the things that they used to do for lunch, they now do for dinner. And so they've got, you know, they're known for their huge pork tenderloin sandwich, and they have that at happy hour. Their lobster rolls, especially at this time of year, are fabulous.
You know, that's a very small bar, though, Mary. Does it,
it
does it get cramped like,
it does
like
get
Jack's
crowded.
Does?
And they don't move it into the dining room.
Right.
So you either have to sit at the bar, one of maybe three
Well, they have a patio,
tables.
Too, now.
They have a small patio also.
Do you have a favorite happy hour item there?
I love the lobster roll.
Tell us more about it.
It's a traditional lobster roll, perfect bun, lightly mayonnaise, light mayonnaise and chock full of lobster. You can't beat it.
Okay, so that's at the Rieger. You know, we haven't actually, in sum, what makes a good happy hour?
Well, I'm one of those people that think the music can't be too loud. Loud, but not too loud. That there's a lot of room. I like a big bar. And that there's an extensive menu.
Yeah, I'm to the point where I don't want to go just for snacks, and I'm more about the food than the drinks, because usually I'll order a glass of wine that I want, whether it's on special or not. So I like something substantial.
Natalie?
I think for me it depends on who I'm with and how much fun we can have in that small little pocket of time.
Measured in fun, not dollars. Time is up for this happy hour roundup on Central Standard, but we'll update our info next year at about the same time. So if you didn't get your recommendation in today, you'll have your chance. Natalie Gallagher, thanks so much for sharing your expertise.
Thank you.
Charles Ferruzza, Pitch food critic. As always, it's a real pleasure. Can't wait to see you on our next food show.
I'm happy to hear that.
Mary Block, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
The happy hour locations we gathered during today's show will be compiled in a glorious list that we'll put online later today. You can find it at kcur.org/centralstandard. Sign up for our podcast while you're there and follow us on Twitter. We're at @KCURCST. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross, with Fridays by Jen Chen. We get lots of help from Andrea Tudhope, Katie Knight, and Patrick Quick. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day. Music by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.